We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I'm your host today, Jared Timms, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime, Nate Green. Nate, Angels are playing some... they're playing good baseball.
It's too early to say
playing meaningful baseball, but good baseball right now. Welcome back to the podcast, man. I'm excited to get this rolling. Busy here with baseball season, and we got minor leagues starting up here soon too. So but the grind does not stop.
Because upper minor leagues have already started, but yeah, I'm doing well. Good to be back with the regular season. I'm excited, and yeah, it's fun to watch Angels baseball in regular season action. And I mean, this is the first time that we've seen a game that mattered for the Angels since about this time last year. So I mean, it's good.
Absolutely. And if this is the first time you are listening to Talking Halos, I appreciate it. First off, we appreciate it. First and foremost, we really do. This is kind of how it works during the season for us. We will do series reviews. We'll do some series previews, and we'll touch on some things that we noticed during the series before. And we're actually not too bad at predicting series either. So if you keep count, we're not horrible at it either. So I'm not going to give you any key things to the series ahead, but I'm not going to brag. We do pretty good as long as, you know, the Angels stay playing decent baseball. We'll keep on rolling with this here. First, before we get into, because we are going to talk the O's series, we missed that. We're going to talk the Marlins series, which will be a lot more fun. Actually, I like talking about losing series because I think it's a lot. I think you learn.
We mentioned a little bit with the Baltimore series, but not a lot.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk O's series here. We're gonna talk the Marlins series, fun series to watch for sure. And then we're gonna talk the opening homestand or opening series, home series against
home
the Boston
openers
Red Sox. Which I know down in SoCal you guys are expecting some rain, so we're hoping nothing gets too rained out. But if you talk to Taylor Blake Ward, he's not too optimistic.
It never rains. The Angels never get rained out. Like they've gotten rained out like twice in the last 10 years. So
Taylor Blake Ward and I have talked on the phone like 8 times this week because minor league stuff. And he's every single time has said they're going to play a doubleheader on Saturday. So if they do play a doubleheader Saturday, you can blame Taylor Blake Ward for it. So
I'm seeing 35% in Orange, California on Friday.
They'll be fine then. So with all that being said, thank you so much for watching and listening to this podcast here at Talking Halos. Really do appreciate it. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button if you have not already. Give us your thoughts in the comments down below about this, the Angels' first road stand. Angels go 4-2, obviously, so let us know how you feel about that. We'll talk about it here in a second. Go ahead and follow us on all our social medias, X, Instagram, and Facebook. Follow myself on X at Jared_Timms, and Nate at NateCrean34.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And let's get it rolling. O's series, Nate, kind of a rough one to start off with. You knew the Angels were going to hopefully try to pull one out there at the end. We saw Reed Detmers shove. Obviously, the Angels take or lose 2 of 3 there, but you always want to end a series on a high note. The Angels get the win. I think that got them rolling into the Marlins series, which we'll talk about. But O's series first 3 games. Let's talk Patrick Sandoval first, because I know we want to talk Patrick Sandoval. I know we talked about him a little bit, but for me,
last time we talked a little bit.
We did talk a little bit as well. And hey, look at that. Speaking of Blake Ward, get the text message from him on this. But Sandoval, night and day difference between how he started against the O's and how he started against the Marlins. Was not overthrowing. Sometimes with guys like that, you get the overthrow, shoulder flies out. We saw a lot of off-speed away in that O's series, up and away. I think he hit a couple guys, and it just wasn't quite him. I know we kind of made fun of it and said Tyler Anderson should be the opening day starter.
Well, you guys did. I didn't.
I know. But it's something that I feel like Patrick Sandoval, and this goes back to what we said, can't necessarily control his emotions all that well and isn't going to pitch well in those situations. Now, I know he pitched well in the World Baseball Classic, but like when he overthrows, you can really tell. When he can keep it under control, like he did in the Marlins series, he looks fantastic and he looked really good today or yesterday, whenever you're watching this, against the Miami Marlins. But go ahead, take it away. I know you want to talk maybe a little Sandoval, Canning, Detmers.
Yeah. Sandoval, we kind of already touched on a little bit. Wasn't throwing strikes early. And then, of course, the air behind him. And, you know, that's where things really fall apart for him when things don't go his way, whether it's an air, whether it's a called strike that should have, or a called ball that should have been a strike, things like that. That's where he really struggles. So I think that was a rough outing for him in Baltimore. A lot of emotions, a lot of things going on. Never really had a opening day start. So a lot of things that he just wasn't used to. And he's just not really good in those situations. Canning, we talked about it a little bit, kind of got bit late by the bullpen. Threw the ball pretty well, honestly. He threw like as he kind of always does, like his 5 innings, his 3 runs. He's got a couple punchies, not too many walks. Like, he looks the same to me early on. Obviously, things could continue to get better for him, but right now he just kind of looks like exactly where he picked up right where he left off last year, which is fine. Like, he's somewhere in the upper 3s to a low 4 ERA guy. He's a good 3-4-5 starter, probably a 4-5 starter, and a guy that probably moves to the pen in the postseason. That type of guy, not a guy that you're looking to be an ace of a staff. But I thought I texted
you right away, by the way, after that start, and I said he's going to give up. They're going to give up. it's gonna be five runs because he left two guys on base there. Because you could kind of tell the bullpen
You knew it was going to
wasn't gonna
happen.
happen. You knew it was gonna happen. And that's what ended up happening. So you look at the stats and it, he gives up five runs, which isn't what you want. But if you watch the game, it was like, and he struggled early. He settled down. He looked good. And yeah, a typical Griffin Canning start, to be honest there. You go five and five, six, give up three runs. Obviously he gave up five, but again, if you
Yeah,
watched
but
it
it
was
easily
three in
could have
that
been
five.
three. Yeah.
So, and then Reed Detmers looked.
Detmers looked really good. I think that was the best that I've seen Detmers early on in the season. You know what was a big key for me, and you're not going to like it. No more sweeper. He's just throwing the hard slider and the big overhand curve with the fastball changeup. And I think that's a big key for him. He was throwing those four pitches and those four pitches only. He should not be a sweeper guy. Not with
Well,
the
because
big overhand
he's got the
curveball
big
like.
overhand curveball. You need something sharp that bites away, and you got the changeup
Yeah,
too. So
so
yeah, I
he was a
agree.
big sweeper guy last year, and I'm not a huge fan of the sweeper with his repertoire. More sliders and the overhand curveball with the changeup played off really well. Attacked and he looked really, really good. I think that was a big takeaway from me was just, hey, he went out there and he threw strikes and
You
yeah, he had to fight through.
have his average velo of that start?
I can check for you
Because that was
talking.
something that and when the Angels drafted, when the Angels drafted, I'll tell you guys kind of a little interesting story here. I think I've said it
As I
before.
look this up for you.
Yeah, I think I've said it before on this podcast. Angels drafted Reed Detmers 2020, the playing in Long Beach. They wanted him to start throwing harder. That was the Billy Epler, the Billy Epler team. They wanted him to actually start throwing a little bit harder because he does have that in his back pocket. He can kick at 95, 96 if he needs it. Which is why I'm asking you how hard he
He
was
sat
throwing.
94.4.
Okay, so he was throwing that firm fastball like he does. He actually told the Angels, "No, I will not. I won't throw harder," because he thought his stuff played better. We saw it, was it beginning of last year, where we saw him throwing the
He
more
was
firm
throwing way
fastball.
harder early on, and then he
Yeah.
was throwing the stupid sweeper on top of the upper nines. Like he was 95, 97 fastball, which is fine, but the sweeper is not a good mix with what he likes to do. He likes to throw the Clayton Kershaw type curveball. That's why everyone compares him to Kershaw's because he has that curveball and the changeup. But the hard slider is what made Kershaw Kershaw, right? Like Kershaw was always a really good pitcher with the big overhand curveball, but he will even tell you that he became a better pitcher when he added the slider, and it wasn't a soft sweeping slider. It was the firm upper eights, low nine slider that made him who he was. And I think that was the big thing that I saw from Detmers. The seven punchies was huge. Yeah, he walked three guys, but I thought he competed really well. And again, against a really good Baltimore lineup, just like Canning, again, really good lineup. Also, just his stuff was just really good. If you look at the numbers, 94.4, his slider was up to 86, sitting 86. So it was probably 86, 87. The curveball was 75 and the changeup was 85. So he was really able to mix all four pitches with velo and spots. Yeah, he had the three walks and that's what I believe the inning he gave up the run is when he walked a couple guys. So good things out of him. Hopefully he continues to get better. He's the guy who really could make some big strides in this rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to the O's series one more time, the offense just wasn't there early. They faced some good pitching. We knew that was going to be the case. And I'll say it now. I was going to say it after the Marlins series, but the Angels are going to do this all year. I think they're not going to play all that well against good teams. I think they're going to kind of let you down a little bit against those good teams. They might play well against a good team every once in a while, but I think for the most part, if they split series or lose two of three of them, I think that's kind of where the Angels are going to sit this year, unfortunately. And a good segue into the Marlins series, where the Angels go out there and sweep a not very good, not very competitive team at the moment. I actually thought the Marlins were going to take a game, especially after getting swept right off the bat there by the Pirates. So I was decently surprised at that.
The Marlins offense looks really bad.
It does. It
Really
really,
bad.
really does.
Like,
It, altogether, everybody, they all, it kind of just in general looks bad. It doesn't look like a playoff team, which, they were almost a playoff team, last year or a couple of years ago, where it was like, oh, the Marlins are kind of taking steps in the right direction. Now it doesn't feel that way anymore, for the Marlins. So obviously this isn't a Marlins podcast, but It's kind of interesting to see. But the Angels do take the sweep against do take.
They did make the playoffs last year, by the
They
way.
did, didn't they? Yeah, that's what I
Yeah.
thought. I remember that. So it just didn't, it didn't doesn't feel like that early for the Marlins. You never know. Baseball's a long season. So, but again, the Angels sweep the Miami Marlins in Miami.
Big one.
Yeah, that's a big sweep early.
No, it's huge. You got to win road games. Like at the end of the year, if you want to be a competitive team, you want to be able to say, hey, we were around maybe a couple games over 500 on the road, around 500 to a couple games over, and then be about 15 games, 10, 15 games over 500 at home. And you look up, and that's how you end up with like 85, 90 wins. So it's big to be to for the Angels to win these road games, no matter who they are. The schedule is what it is. You got to win the games where they're at, and it doesn't matter if you're playing Baltimore, New York, and all these really good teams on the road, or if you're playing Miami and all these teams that aren't that good so far on the road. You just got to win the games because it does matter. Like everyone thinks you can't lose games, you can't lose the division in April, but I think you really can. Like it's a big deal to start winning games early because that's when teams start to believe in themselves. Like you look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh keeps winning. They could be a team that's like, wow, we actually have a shot. They bring up Paul Skenes, they bring up another guy. All of a sudden, Pirates are in the playoffs this year. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but like that's why winning games early is very important.
Absolutely. So let's start with game one of that series, Miami Marlins, against the Los Angeles Mike Trouts. And Mike Trout shined very bright in that first game there with the two home runs. Fantastic game, by the way. That was a really fun game to watch. Angels battled it out there until the very end. Gave up four in the first, and then kind of took care of the rest. Was that Silseth start?
Yeah, can I lose my mind real quick on this one?
Mind. Go
Because I'm
ahead.
a big
Everybody's
Chase
waiting.
Silseth guy.
Everybody waiting for it. Go ahead and take it.
Yeah, I know everyone's gonna be like, Nate, you said Chase Silseth is good, yada yada yada. The guy with the best stuff on the staff cannot throw to the worst defensive catcher. It is unacceptable. Matt Theis killed Chase Silseth. And it's just obvious. Like Matt Theis should never, ever catch Chase Silseth. It
I'll say
is
this to
terrible.
your point here, and listeners are going to be like, oh, this doesn't make a lot of sense what you're saying. Matt Theis never caught Shohei Ohtani for a reason, until Ohapi got hurt, obviously. And we've said it before, Shohei Ohtani's repertoire reminds us a lot of Chase Silseth's repertoire. And it's
Other
very
way around,
similar.
but yeah.
Yeah, it's the other way around. You get what I'm saying? But it's very similar there. So I don't disagree with you on that. I think that if Theis is catching Silseth, it's not good. I'd rather see Theis catch Tyler
Tyler
Anderson.
Anderson. Tyler Anderson is the perfect guy for him to catch.
You know who I'd really rather see catch? It's Chad Wallach. Because I don't think that Matt Theis is
Well,
a very good defensive
yeah,
catcher.
but you're
But
kind of stuck with Chad. You're kind of stuck with Matt Theis, so
I don't know.
you can't have that. But yeah, I was pretty pissed off to see Matt Theis catching to start that game just because Chase Silseth's stuff is so good. And you saw it. It affected the game early. He walks the leadoff guy, the second guy gets on a catcher's interference, and that changes the whole inning. Matt Theis doesn't do a real great job of framing either. So yeah, I think this start from Silseth says more about who the catcher was than who started on the mound. And actually, if you want to get into it, Logan Ohapi caught the final 3 innings of the game. Simber pitched to him, Matt Moore pitched to him, Carlos Estevez pitched to him, and I would argue that Simber, Moore, and Estevez were the best three pitchers in the game. I didn't think Cisneros pitched that good. I thought he got a little lucky with some hard hit balls at guys. I didn't think Suarez pitched that good. He had two walks and a hit. Yeah, I know you're going to say shocking that I didn't think Suarez pitched good, but I didn't think he pitched that good. He did his job, don't get me wrong, but I didn't think he pitched that good. When you look at Simber comes in first and second, one out, one pitch, 6-4-3 out of the inning, goes back out there the next inning, goes 1-2-3 with a punchy. Matt Moore comes in and looked outstanding. Matt Moore looks really, really good early. That's big for the Angels to have a guy who can get righties and lefties out in the back end of the pen. And then Estevez, he's always going to scare you, but he did his job. He gave up a hit. But I think the game turned for the Angels pitching staff when Logan Ohapi caught the final 3 innings of that game. And the only reason he caught the final 3 innings of that game is because the Marlins went to Nardi, the lefty from Ventura, in that inning, and all of a sudden they're like, well, we don't want Theis facing the lefty, so we'll go Ohapi, and Ohapi ends up getting to catch the last three innings, which was huge for the Angels, and that's kind of when they took the lead in the eighth and ninth inning. So I cannot stress enough how important it is catcher pitcher combination.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in this case. There are some times where I, won't necessarily agree with that, but I do think with Chase Silseth that that's a big thing there. So, on to game two here, arguably the best game, best pitch game, in this series. You had Tyler Anderson go seven innings, should have been the opening day starter. Yeah,
Sure.
Tyler Anderson going seven innings, giving up four hits. What are you talking about? That he four hits, Nate?
Congrats.
And you're saying he's a tough. You said he didn't pitch all that well. He had five
I
strikeouts,
said
two walks.
Suarez didn't pitch that well. I said I thought I
No,
said
you called me. I called you on the way home.
I
I was driving
said
home,
I
and I
thought he
said,
got
"Oh, Tyler
lucky.
Anderson."
I said I thought he got lucky. I didn't say he didn't pitch well. I said I thought he got lucky. If you watched the game, one of the big plays of the game came in the first inning. There was first and second, one out. Avisaíl García swings at a pitch that Jazz Chisholm had third base stolen standing up. It was ridiculous. Could have been second and third. Instead, García flies out to center. Chisholm overruns third base, doesn't touch it on the way back, gets thrown out second on the video review, and the Angels get out of the inning. It could have been second, third, one out with a guy who hits the ball in the air. And all of a sudden it's 1-0, and you're starting to think, oh, Tyler Anderson having the typical Tyler Anderson game. Just because everyone's gonna blow me up about Tyler Anderson, how good he looked, I went back and did this just for you guys. April 2nd, 2023, Tyler Anderson started against the Oakland A's, six innings, four hits, similar, three free bases, a hit by pitch, two walks, four Ks, and he
2024, it's
did
a
not
new year
allow
for
a
Tyler
run.
Anderson. He might be an all-star. We don't know that.
And he didn't allow a run, and it was Oakland. Oakland's a really good ball club, if you ask some people, right? I believe they finished last in Major League Baseball in runs scored. As we know, his season didn't end as well as that start was. April 2nd, I think they wanted to keep him on the April 2nd day just because he had success there last year. And April 2nd again, 2024, Tyler Anderson, seven innings, four hits, two walks, five Ks, almost identical to the year before. With the numbers, he went one extra inning, had one extra K and one less walk. But for the most part, he had identical numbers. And I know everyone's going to be like, but Nate, Oakland and Miami are different. Oakland was not a playoff team. Miami was a playoff team. Just if, in case you want to pull that crap with me, Miami was 26th in runs scored. The last year was 666 runs. Oakland was 30th in runs scored. So he wasn't exactly facing the Bronx Bombers of 1908 or any of these crazy offenses that you're like, oh man, these are crazy offenses. He's facing a team that's hasn't hit well so far to start the year. I guess it was 1919. That's on me. Yeah, the 1919 Yankees. He's facing a team that struggled offensively so far, and then also they weren't a good offense last year. So we're Let's wait and see before we start saying Tyler Anderson is back to the Dodger way.
I'm sorry, I had to look up 1908 Yankees. They weren't the Yankees at that time. Can you guess what they
Is
were?
it? Don't even.
They were called the Highlanders at that point. You want to know what their record was?
What was it?
51 and 103.
It was the 1919 Yankees where they were really, really good.
Had to look it up. I wanted to know. I was
I
like,
was off by
cool,
11 years,
1908
but.
out of nowhere.
But you know what I mean, right? Like he wasn't exactly facing the greatest lineup ever. And we've seen the Marlins don't look good early. Luis Arraez is not hitting. Josh Bell's not hitting. Luis Arraez is hitting under 200 right now. I don't know if Luis Arraez hit under 200 at all last year.
Well, Luis Arraez struck out twice, or
I
once,
know,
right? Twice against
and
him?
that doesn't
Yeah,
happen.
twice. Yeah, it doesn't happen.
Today, no, he struck out twice today.
Twice today. Yeah.
Yeah, so the. This lineup does not look like it normally does. This lineup does not look really good, and I know some people already pointing to the Kim to Kim, who was the old GM who kind of got pushed out of there, and like, hey, she kind of made this team a lot better because of everything. And honestly, like, they just pitch. That's what they do. They pitch, and they have a lot of injuries, and they didn't pitch that well this year. So I'm glad Tyler Anderson pitched well, but let's not start putting him down for Cy Young votes right now.
No. It's just good to see Angels pitching staff get off on the right page, because that is what I think we think the Angels need to do well to
Yeah, you
compete.
got to pitch.
You definitely have to compete. Have to pitch to compete. So let's move on to the third game. We'll get on the series preview for the Red Sox, and then get our butts out of here. So Angels face, Nate, to be fair, the Angels are facing the Oakland A's anyways. They face Lizardo on that
Yeah,
second game. They face
AJ Puck.
AJ Puck on the third game. So a lot of familiar faces there for the Angels. But I mentioned before, Patrick Sandoval looked very, very good. Kept that front side in, really got the changeup working early, and that was a huge factor for him there on that side of stuff. By the way, Patrick Sandoval, stuff plus wise, has one of the best sliders in baseball. I know that's not everything, but it's kind of nice to have
That was
that.
the pitch that was really good for him in the World Baseball Classic too.
Yeah, once if you can get that going, that's a huge thing there. So, but just in general, a good baseball game played there by the Angels. By the way, Guillermo Zuniga threw the 3 innings today. Pretty solid there.
Well, that's big
On that
because
side.
this bullpen gets a day off tomorrow or today, depending on where when you're listening. April 4th, they get the day off. And they need it. They've been taxed. And that's what you expect. You expect the bullpen to be taxed early. But yeah, that's huge for them to not have to use Matt Moore on a third straight day or Carlos Estevez for a third day out of four. Or even Jose Soriano again. Like Jose Soriano, he's going to be a key to this bullpen. And to not have to use him in this game is huge. So yeah, it was really big for them to just be able to go out there and say, hey, Cisnero, you've thrown a lot lately. Simber, you've thrown a lot. Cisnero, you got one out, and that was kind of it. And then Zuniga kind of was able to pick up some slack and be like, hey, I'll go get three. I won't pitch on Friday, most likely. I'll be available Saturday, but everyone in the pen should be available Friday, which is huge.
Yeah, and there's options there as well. So maybe a small chance he gets sent down after throwing 3 innings. I
I
doubt it,
doubt
but
it.
you never know.
You don't reward a guy by sending him down after throwing three shutty
Hey, you would assume not, but I've
with an
seen
off day.
it
With an
happen.
off day.
Seen it happen before, so just want to throw that out there. Big player of the game, and off to a hot start, Taylor Ward there.
Taylor Ward looks really
Sweet,
good.
man. He looks really good. Taylor Ward, the baseball player. Don't mistake him for the reporter, but yeah, he's swinging it well. He's swinging a good bat, hot bat again. I hope he continues this. I hope he stays healthy. But yeah, that's a big bat there that I might start thinking about leading off, or at least batting a little closer to. Well, I guess he batted behind Mike
No,
Trout.
I think he's good where he's at, honestly.
That's fair.
I think the big thing is Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks, they need someone in that two hole who's going to get on base for Mike Trout. And Hicks just really isn't doing that right now. He hasn't looked good early, but you're going to need someone in this lineup to step up. Logan Ohapi is a guy that I look to see. Is he possibly going to move up in this order? Because he's got off to a really hot start. It might be too early to be like, oh, hey, we're going to batch you five behind Taylor Ward, or we're going to hit you four behind Trout and put Ward two, but they're going to need to get some productivity from someone in front of Mike Trout. They can't rely on Mike Trout to hit two homers every night, Taylor Ward to hit a homer and have three or four doubles. Like, they're going to need more than just two or three guys in this lineup to win baseball games.
So let's get on to the home opening series for the Angels here. Let's just give previews here. I know we're running out of time. Pitching matchup for the home opener, Griffin Canning against Cutter Crawford. Who do you got there?
Angels win the game. Yeah, I know that's crazy. Angels win the game, stay hot. Crawford threw really well in his first start, but I know he has some underlying numbers that look a lot better for him. But I just don't think he's very average. He's very similar to Griffin Canning, and I like where the Angels have been at. I think their offense is a little bit better than Boston's right now. I don't think Boston's got a lot of young guys that they're hoping can continue to hit. And I think the Angels have a little bit more veteran presence with Taylor Ward and Mike Trout and Brandon Drury, guys like that. Get them home, get them hot. Boston's been on the road. I think the Angels win game one.
Yeah, and just looking at matchups and everything like that, these hitters haven't faced these pitchers very much. It's going to be an interesting matchup for sure. Angels, I'll say, win the home opener, but it's going to come down to the bullpen there on both sides. I'm going to say both pitchers go, those close to that 5 innings, give up, three, four runs, and we'll see where it goes from there. Game 2, Garrett Whitlock goes against Reed Detmers. Fun matchup there. A
Yeah.
couple young players. It's hard for me to go to say anything against Griffin Canning right now. But Garrett Whitlock's also a very, very good pitcher as well.
You mean Detmers?
Yes, did I say Whitlock twice
Yeah.
there?
No,
So
you said
I said
Canning,
Canning.
and I was like,
Okay, so
Canning.
yeah, it's hard for me to say anything negative about Detmers. So it's going to come down to the bullpen again here on this side of stuff. I think it's going to be another close game. But I'm going to say, man, I'm going to say the Angels for somehow out-duel the Red Sox again and win this game.
I agree. I think the Angels win. Again, it's been a long road trip for the Red Sox as well. They started the year in Seattle, then they went to Oakland. Now they're coming to Anaheim. I think that's tough on a team to be on the road for this long to open up the year, which that sucks for the Red Sox. But I think Detmers throws well again, and continues to show that he is on his way to being a guy in this rotation.
Yep, and get to game 3. Another real fun pitching matchup there.
Yeah.
Tanner Houck against Chase Silseth. A couple dudes with some really good stuff there. Oh man, dude, I it's gonna be a pitcher's duel. Those last 2 games are really gonna be pitcher's duel. I think the first game's gonna be about the bullpen, but the second game and third game are really gonna be pitcher's duels here. Angel, no, they haven't Red Sox haven't faced Chase Silseth yet. Well, once and. Not a lot of guys have faced him. It's tough for me to go against Silseth here too, but I'm going to say the Red Sox get out of there with a get out of there with a win. But dude, the Angels could go in there and could come home and sweep the Red Sox too and win what 7 straight. So.
Yeah. And this is where I will justify what I'm going to say. If Matt Theis catches this game, the Red Sox win. Okay. It's an afternoon game, after a night game, which is typically when you see the backup catcher. So that is my big scare in this game, is Matt Theis catches again, and that's a bad thing for Chase Silseth.
Well, to that point even more, you got a righty on the mound, so you're probably sitting
Well,
Silseth
you're
or
seeing all
sitting,
righties, all series. You're seeing righties, so that's not that big of a deal to me. But I think with the afternoon game on Sunday, you have a good chance of getting Matt Theis, and if that's the case, the Red Sox win. If Matt Theis does not catch, though, I think the Angels sweep the series. I know the Red Sox have they've pitched really well early. They've given up 11 earned runs going into the series in 2 series so far in 7 games. But they have not faced a good lineup yet. They've faced Seattle. Seattle does not look good. Their lineup looks really, really bad early. And of course, we know Oakland is not that good either. So they're just kind of making their way through the bottom of the American League West right now. Of teams are probably going into the year, you had them penciled finishing third, fourth, and fifth. So if Silseth gets the right catcher, they sweep the series. If Silseth gets Theis, they win 2 out of 3.
Interesting. You just called the Angels a good offensive team. So, with all that being said, no, I'm not letting you finish
They
it. So,
have Mike Trout. It's and Taylor Ward's playing out of his mind. This offense looks competent. I mean, I've watched too many Mariner games, and I've watched Oakland enough to know that nobody that off nobody that offense just doesn't look competent for either team. Seattle's chasing a lot. They're swinging and missing a lot, and it's just not great early for them. And they face Cleveland and Boston, both teams that are like probably hoping to win about 83, 84 games. If they're honest with themselves, Cleveland could win their division, but their division is not really good. Boston's thinking they're probably the last place team in the American League East, which, yeah, they could win 82 games and be like the first division ever to have 5 teams over 500, but they're probably looking at being last place in the American League East.
that's fair. So, with all that being said, guys, thank you again so much for watching and listening. You can follow us on all our social medias, X, Instagram, Facebook. You can follow myself on X, Jared underscore Tim's Nate, and Nate Crane 34. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.